As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Four-man rush. Fields stepping up. Sidearm sling. He's got a connection. There goes Montgomery, who lost the football, and the Cowboys have it. It's Parsons on top of it. Micah Parsons on the move, and Micah Parsons is in!
It's the escape up the field. Really nice job right there by Justin Fields finding David Montgomery. Leighton Vander Esch with the strip. And Justin Fields hops over Micah Parsons. And I don't think he was ever touched.
Pollard, nice move by Tony Pollard for a first down. Here's Pollard. And sure enough, a first down and more. Welcome to the big show, Tony Pollard, his third touchdown of the day. Three touchdown days. Zeke Elliott doesn't have a three touchdown rushing game in his NFL career. Tony Pollard did it on the big stage today.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Feels great to come on here after games and
talk about a Cowboys win.
We get to do it again this week on this episode of About Them Cowboys, this post-game episode of About Them Cowboys. Cowboys 6-2 headed into the bye week, crushing the Bears today at Jerry World. Father John Mishoda was there to witness it all. We'll get his report. And we've got KT Fun Tweets here to host everything. I'm Kent, producing. So welcome in to this About Them Cowboys. Saad not here. Make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube and also theathletic.com/aboutthemcowboys. Get you that discount to The Athletic because we're going to have some great bye week analysis headed your way on The Athletic this week. Check it out. theathletic.com/aboutthemcowboys. Welcome in, KT. Welcome back, I should say.
Yes, dude. Thank you for having me once again. And Father John, I know we record this on Sunday night, another noon game. They went ahead and opened the roof for this one so God could watch Tony Pollard run through the Bears defense. What a weird, fun, just different game than anything we've really seen so far this year, right?
It was. And, you know, that's one of the first, I bet you there's been others, but they don't open the roof very much at noon games, and you could tell why, because the sun was just beating down on half the stadium. Like, it was like right in their eyeballs for probably the first half, and that was on the Bears side. So I'm sure that Cowboys fans don't mind that. But yeah, doors and roof open. That's I want to say the Cowboys are about 500 when that happens, so it's not like there's some advantage there. A lot of Bears fans. I guess that should be expected after that many Lions fans were in the building last week. As you guys know from our last podcast, Kent was looking forward to the Bears winning and being able to put me basically talking down about the Bears as the lead into this show. That obviously won't be happening.
It did not happen, no.
Let's be honest. The Bears are just, they're okay. I don't think they're bad. They're bad. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It depends. I guess it's all about how, like, on a curve, like how many teams you think are bad. So they ran all over the Cowboys. That was probably the most concerning thing. But I still think this defense is one of the best in the league, and they showed that when they needed it most, and particularly Micah Parsons. I mean, this team goes kind of like Micah goes. Micah plays well, the Cowboys usually win.
Yeah, I was kind of sitting there at the end of that thing going, man, I don't think we need to have Micah out there right now, up by 20 with 5 minutes left of the game. Can we get him off the field? But I think the other story, let's talk about the offense. You come out 4-for-4. I really loved what they did on the first series. First play of the game, just a quick ball to Michael Gallup. Like, let's get him going, get his confidence going and things like that. But the story on offense is Dak orchestrating the offense. I think a lot of things you could say about Kellen Moore. Let's not act like the Bears are a great defense or anything like that. But it's four straight offensive series and, you know, Tony Pollard again proving how dynamic he can be. Just an incredible day for him. Three touchdowns and 14 carries. We didn't get to see that 20-carry game, but, you know, I think it's interesting. Malik Davis played well in spots. It was a pretty flawless day offensively, outside of Dak's interception before the half, right?
If Dak didn't throw that interception, I probably would give him an A-minus for that game. Because of that, I'd say B+. I thought he played pretty good. I thought he looked a lot better than he did the week before with his hit, which was his first game back from the fractured thumb. There was that moment where he ran out of bounds and got his left hand stepped on, and you're just kind of like, man, it just seems like if it's not one thing, it's the other. But having him run obviously opened up some other things, and I just wonder how much we'll see of that going forward. You need him to be healthy as possible. But I still think that there's still room for a calculated 2, 3, 4 runs a game to just kind of keep the defense honest in certain situations. But yeah, you're right. Tony Pollard, I mean, I thought he was going to run pretty well. I did not think he was going to go for 130 yards and 3 touchdowns on only 14 carries. He was incredible. And Mike McCarthy said after the game, you know, there's that talk of, you know, Zeke now, you know, out. Is Tony the new number one? McCarthy called them saying that they have two number ones, which reminded me a lot of when going into a couple seasons, last season and the season before that, how they said they have three number one wide receivers because the last thing they want are, you know, any type of controversy, unless it comes to the quarterback. And then Jerry welcomes a QB controversy, but Jerry wanted nothing to do with talking about anything but Zeke being their lead dog after the game. I mean, it was, we're going to go as Zeke goes. You know, there was no talk of, I would love to have a running back controversy. He made it very clear that Zeke is their guy and they'll go as far as he can carry them. But, and that sounds good, but I don't know how you watch that game and not think that Tony Pollard's not going to continue to be a huge part of this offense. Let's be honest, the way he breaks off some of these big runs, that's not just elite for the Cowboys. If you only watch, that's elite on the NFL level. There aren't many backs breaking off the huge runs like he has, not over the last 2 or 3 years.
And there's honestly multiple years of evidence of those, even though because of the way things are kind of structured around here where he doesn't have the same amount of attempts that Zeke would get, we have multiple years of evidence showing that, hey man, his advanced statistics will show you running in between the tackles, breaking tackles, yards after contact, like things like that, that show you, okay, you should probably be getting the ball more. I have no interest in a running back controversy discussion. We don't need to have that when you just won 49-29. I have my issues if that cost you a playoff game in January. I have issues if that's the case and you have a 20-10 or 18-8, you know, carries description. That's where I kind of go, should have done something about it. And we have last year to look at there where I think you could probably just have that conversation. But you know, today, yeah, I mean, the offensive line.
Well, let's have that credit. One. Hold on, let's see this real quick. I like that. I like where you're going with that. Let's see. Last year against the 49ers, who obviously are a considerably better defense than this particular Bears team, you had Zeke with 12 carries for 31 yards, Tony Pollard 4 carries for 14 yards against those 49ers. I do think that the Cowboys would fare much better this year. I also don't think either of their backs go for over 100 yards against an elite playoff defense. Not right now.
Not in that game last year that we're referencing either. You know, just but I think what I think about is little things like this. I mean, right now, This is outside of today's game, right? So this is going into today's game. And you can look at, you know, Tony Pollard's numbers when it comes to just yards per carry, right? If we're just going to branch it out, that's what we're kind of talking about. And Tony Pollard's there as 12th in the league, 5.6 yards per carry. Zeke is 36th in the league at 4 yards per carry. Yeah, is that close? Absolutely. But the big difference there is that the more explosive plays are coming, you know, from Tony. It's fine. You still want Zeke. You need Zeke. It has nothing to do with it. You can, they can coexist. And by the way, both of those guys, very comfortable coexisting, which is maybe not the case in a place like Cleveland where Kareem Hunt's like, man, I don't know if this is good for me. And it's like, well, Nick Chubb might be the best running back in the league. But I just don't know if, like, it's a narrative that wants to get out there, and it's not important in week 8 going into the bye week when Zeke needed to not play today. And I'm really glad that common sense ended up coming through and saying, let's get him as healthy as possible. That's where I kind of, my head is, I was very proud that that happened because I thought they were going to be stubborn and let him play. And there's no need for it when you're this good, you're playing a team that's that bad and you're at home and then you got a bye week. It just would have been foolish. And you saw what Tony could do. We didn't see the 20 carry game. And I think there's some people who might say, man, he's got to show me he can tote the note. And I'm like, well, no one's really doing that in the NFL anymore anyways.
Yeah.
You don't have 20. Derrick Henry's 25. And even they put Hilliard out there quite a bit to spell him at this point in his career.
It's a 1-2 punch.
The one thing,
1-2 punch.
The one thing I will say that we didn't get to see very much of in this game is having to count on Tony Pollard consistently in as a pass blocker. And that's because the Bears' pass rush isn't very good. They hit Dak twice. They sacked him once. Both QB hits were by Brisker and Gibson. It's not like it's this done. I mean, so losing Robert Quinn right before this game obviously didn't help that situation. And like I said, I mean, Brisker, that's a safety. He's the one that had the sack. It's not like they had this daunting pass rush like you're going to see most teams you'd face in the playoffs. And I think that's one of those areas where the Cowboys would prefer to have Zeke in some of those situations because of how well he is picking up blocks and doing some of those other things in the backfield. So I guess what I'm getting at is I really do think you need both. Now, if you want to tilt the carries one way or another, hey, that I'm open for that. But for anybody that thinks that they should just go full-time Tony Pollard now and Zeke is just like this backup running back that's going to get like 5 to 7 carries, that's not happening, and I don't think that should happen.
Let's go back to Dak running for a second. I mean, something Jerry had asked about, and he made a comment about last week. And so 5 carries for Dak, you have the touchdown run. Well, I think what you said earlier about 2, 3, 4 carries a game is a good number. I think what's important to me moving forward is that it's not all in the red zone, because that'll get predictable real quick around the league. If you break that out all the time, you know, inside the 10-yard line, that call today was beautiful. That was a great play, and it was great to see because you want to see Dak get comfortable running again, which I think he is. I just think, you know, he's got that mindset of I'm a passer. I'm trying to make plays down the field before I run. But a design play like that was great to see, and I hope they break that out at the 50-yard line, and I hope they break that out all over the field because I think that'll kind of keep things – you know, a little unpredictable, but very, very happy with that. And I think that's something, it's one of those things where it's like, well, Jerry said it happened, but it's definitely something they've been talking about doing and kind of been wanting to do. Keep in mind, this is just Dak's third game of the year, right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, because Jerry talked about wanting to see more read option than that. And when I think of a play from this game, it was that 2-point conversion that the Bears went for. And that was a play where Matt Eberflus said after the game, the Bears head coach, that Justin Fields was supposed to read that and hand the ball off. Well, instead, he keeps it, and here comes DeMarcus Lawrence completely unblocked and just rocks him. And obviously, Justin Fields is a good-sized quarterback, just like Dak. But regardless, you don't want your quarterback taking clean shots like that from defensive end. So anytime you get into that RPO game, you have to be understanding that your quarterback's going to take some shots. And I just get the sense that Jerry would like to see more of that. I don't know how much more Kellen Moore, Dak Prescott, Mike McCarthy want to see of that. I think they're fine here and there. I don't think they want that to be a major part of the offensive game plan.
I mean, Exhibit A is him getting his left hand stepped on, you know, and it's not ideal, right? I mean, your quarterback, your biggest investment, you want to protect it. It's like, okay, now he's got a little problem on his leg. Like, can he take a snap? Can he grip the ball? You know?
That's the contrary of it is, you know, him getting blown up. But also, I think Justin Fields ran for 60 yards today. So, yeah. And it can be a big part of your offense too. You know, I think there's a big risk, but there's also a big reward involved.
How concerning was that for you? Justin Fields, you know, running quite a bit. I mean, we knew he was going to run.
He's an above average runner. He's in the Kyler and the Jalen Hurts category, you know. I mean, you won't see guys like him every week, but he's a great player. I mean, they knew that coming in, and he showed why he's, you know, almost a top 10 pick. So, I mean.
You know, at halftime, David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert hadn't got anything on the ground. They were under.
Yeah.
Each of those guys were not, they were under 3 yards of carry. It was just Justin Fields. So it's almost like the adjustment that you might have made to slow down Justin Fields might have opened up some gaps elsewhere. Also, when you have a 20-point lead, you're not playing as aggressively against the run. And I think that was part of it too, just the idea of like, yeah, maybe they're going to start throwing a little more to try to move the ball down the field a little bit faster to get back in the game. And that really happened. And it's what you kind of, I think it's a weird thing we're seeing in the league in general is teams get ahead, teams start staying back on defense, and they're like, here, you can run it. Clock runs out a little bit. Scoring across the league maybe goes down a little bit. And you're kind of counting on guys, can you make tackles? So Herbert had a couple of big runs, but I didn't walk away from today's game feeling any different about the run defense than I felt going in. The run defense is still the weak spot of the defense, and we all know that. It wasn't alarming, I guess, is what I would say. When you look at the score and it's 29 points, I wasn't alarmed by that.
Yeah, it would have got alarming when, I mean, let's be honest, it did a little bit. When they cut that deficit to 28-23, and then all of a sudden, hey, the Cowboys get the ball back. And I really thought that Dak was pretty big on that following series. He had those back-to-back passes to Dalton Schultz. One I was on, I think, like 3rd and 9. That got them back going again. Pollard capped that drive with a touchdown, and boom, you answer right back. And then on that very next series, that's when it was the Micah fumble recovery return. I mean, and that just completely tilts momentum. If you don't have, let's say the Cowboys answer by going 3 and out, and they don't get that, you know, Micah Parsons. I mean, who knows? Maybe I still think the Cowboys win, but it comes down to the end, and all of a sudden it's a close game.
Montgomery doesn't fumble that ball. It could be a totally different game. I mean,
there's just a lot of similarities in this game and the Lions game for me. Both not good. I think that they're okay. We'll say they're bad, KT. Bad teams.
They're bad.
That Mike McCarthy in his coaching career has certainly had the upper hand against, and they hung around and made it interesting for a while. But ultimately, the better team pulled away. And in both games, I think the score looks a little bit worse than it probably really was in the game, even though I clearly think the Cowboys are better than both of those teams.
Third down was a big emphasis this week. And
hold on real quick on that. Yeah. Mike McCarthy talked about that after the game, how, you know, he said this multiple times, how, you know, you kind of in this league, he said for just his experiences, the things that you work on, you usually see basically the fruits of the labor during that following week. So they've been really focusing these last few weeks on third downs. And that's great. But when I hear that, I'm just kind of like, so are you not focusing on run defense? Or so why does the run defense keep looking like this? It seems like that's what, so, I mean, you can say that. You got to also have the players to execute it. And it takes some things more than others. But obviously, yeah, third down, you're right, huge in this game. They were great.
Well, I think the drive you were just talking about where it was 28-23, you know, that drive – it was a 3rd and 9 that play Schultz you were talking about when he hit him over the middle. And that was a free play. They'd drawn a defensive lineman offsides for who it was. So, you know, that did change things. And who knows, maybe you convert 3rd and 4. But on that 3rd and 9, you hit Schultz, and that was huge. And they got Turpin a carry on that drive, which is always fun. You know, and that's when, you know, but I look at the first drive and the post route to CeeDee Lamb. You know, that was following – one of my least favorite plays in all of sports is the 2nd and 10 handoff. I hate the 2nd and 10 handoff. It annoys me, and it happened. And then Dak hits CeeDee Lamb on the post route, and, you know, sure enough, it's 7-0. But those third downs were money, and if you're nailing your third downs, guess what? You probably win. Oh, and you probably almost put up a 50-burger like today. And that's where I kind of I was thinking about just everything that happened leading up to getting here, like where we're at, just the offense struggled. They hadn't put up 30 points in a game. It all came together today. And then you get the bye week. It's like, oh, man, we're kind of flowing. I wish the bye week was actually a little bit later. Every team needs the bye week, you know, whether you have it week 6, week 14, week 8, whatever. Everyone needs the bye week. I couldn't help but kind of in my head go, let's kind of keep this thing rolling. We just got Dak back. Let's not take a breather. It just lines up with how last year you could divide last year into two halves. And we've talked about it ad nauseum on this podcast. And I was like, damn it, I wish the bye week was a few weeks away because Dak's back. We're rolling. We just got Michael Gallup going. And now we got to take a week off.
I agree. But I also, to just play devil's advocate, this going into this game, it's 90 minutes before kickoff. That's when they release. Both teams have to officially announce their inactives. This was the most notable inactives list for the Cowboys I can remember in a while. It's because you had, obviously you had Zeke, but then you have Malik Hooker, Sam Williams, Tristan Hill, Noah Brown, and then Jabril Cox. And you're just like, damn, that's, you know, you're going to be looking for something out of like, okay, so I'm thinking, well, there's going to have to be something out of Jalen Tolbert. You know, he's going to get a start. There you go. First series out there. The rookie third round pick comes out there, gets the start. Jalen Tolbert's out there. He's probably going to get a couple targets in this game, right? Nothing. It was crazy. No. Like, and then the other injuries I was going to talk about, just with it being the bye, is I still don't know that Dalton Schultz is all the way back. He had a good game. He's probably not going to be 100% all season, but to get him a little bit of a breather there, maybe a little rest on the knee, I think that's a good time for that. Anthony Barr leaves the game, doesn't come back. I believe it was a hamstring. So you'd like to have him back. The positive to that, though, would be that you did get some playing time for Damone Clark, you know, a guy that when they drafted him, I think we had talked about probably several times that, hey, this might be a redshirt year for him. He might not get to play. So now you kind of get like a full week to try and maybe see where Anthony Barr is at. Maybe if he's out for a little bit, you get Damone Clark a little bit back in there. And then Sam Williams just seemed like he was really hitting his stride. And then all of a sudden, he's out of this game. So yeah, you'd probably like maybe things to keep rolling, but there's also some positives to having the bye right
now. Sure.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Outside of Jalen Tolbert, most everyone kind of stepped up and almost replace the guys who are out. Like, yeah. Dante Fowler played pretty well today.
Yeah.
Probably getting some of those Sam Williams snaps. Mukwamu had a couple plays that were like, okay. And I know he's not like filling in specifically for Malik Hooker, but like a couple plays to kind of replace that. And you kind of branch that out across all the inactives. Damone Clark getting out there was great to see. Because no one really thought that was going to happen. I thought Kelvin Joseph had a couple opportunities to make a play. He got caught one time where he really didn't have any help and he was kind of on the wrong side. Gave up a pass play. But, I mean, Bland, you know, like the Bears are weird because, you know, they're not going to really expose you very much through the air. So it's hard to really get a good read on that.
Yeah, you're right about that. It It's just such a strange team because there are things about their team, which was a lot of talk last week, you know, at the Star about, you know, you got to see Jalen Hurts. And so a little bit of, now you kind of know what to do with Justin Fields. No, you don't, because Justin Fields doesn't have the weapons that Jalen Hurts has. I mean, the Eagles went out of their way to put weapons around him. There's no A.J. Brown with the Chicago Bears. You know, they're just not as explosive offensively like that, which aids, obviously, Jalen Hurts and the success he's able to have. I think A.J. Brown had 3 touchdown passes in the catches in the first half today.
Yeah. All on go routes. Yeah. I mean, just right up the field. 4 actually touchdown passes over 25 yards for Jalen Hurts today, which he was 1 away from the record, which is Dan Marino at 5 touchdown passes in a game of over 25 yards. I mean, the Eagles looked explosive playing a weird Steelers team where Kenny Pickett is swimming for his dear life in a pool of sharks. I mean, it's like, it's very strange. Dude, the Eagles are going to go 10-0. Yeah. I mean, they've got a really good chance. They have the Thursday night short week game against Houston, and then they get the Commanders, who are weirdly 4-4, and then they're going to get after that. They're going to get the Sam Ellinger, Ellinger. Colts. They're going to get them. Man, good chance to go 10-0. Crap. Then they get the Packers. It could be 11-0. The Eagles got a chance to do some really good damage here. And I would say the Giants lost to Seattle in a game, which I can tell you, John, I don't know, you probably didn't get to see much of that. You're working, you're in the locker room, you're writing. That Seahawks-Giants game looked like 2 teams who don't need to be in the playoffs. I mean, that was very ugly. The Giants looked like trash today, and I think we're going to find out who they really are soon. That's not good. Bad team, not good, who just happens to have a better record than you. So with the win today, the Cowboys are in second place in the division. And I know there's nothing more, nothing you like more, John, than NFC East standings talk. Best touchdown celebration of the year? Are we up for debate there?
Yeah, man. I said to someone after the game that I think that there were so many interesting things that were all over the map in this game that I never even got a chance to talk to Jake Ferguson or Dalton Schultz after the game about that. That was clearly planned out. They clearly had that roping little deal ready to go. You could tell as he turned around, Dalton Schultz started running, and Jake Ferguson got out the rope, started swinging her around.
That was great.
My first thought was, not Dalton, like Hendershot, get down there or something. Like, we don't need Dalton Schultz doing bits with his knee. I don't know why I'm treating him like he's so fragile.
I love how he did the throw his hands up like time, you know, in the rodeo.
Dude,
that's what I loved about it. Like, I'm all for all kinds of crazy touchdown celebrations, but sometimes when you have 5 guys around and you do a long 20-second thing and you're just trying to follow it, it's hard. That one, there's no mistake what that was. And it was so planned because it was a 5-second thing. Like, it was like, go down, time up, hands up, over. It was so good.
And here's the other part about that really stood out to me. If you would have told me that I can't watch the game, but during this podcast, you're going to list all the things that happen and all the touchdowns, and then you're going to tell me that I have to guess which one had the best touchdown celebration, there is no doubt that I'm picking Micah Parsons. Just because of his personality, the way he is, and he didn't really do anything. When he was running it back, I thought, well, first of all, I thought they were going to call him down because, you know, you're watching in real time and you're up in the press box. You can't really tell, hey, did Justin Fields kind of, you know, catch him with a cleat or something? Did he barely touch him, whatever? For that to be Micah Parsons' first NFL touchdown, I just thought he was going to have something prepared and there was going to be something wild, and it just wasn't. He's going to have to work on that.
Yeah, on TV, I definitely thought, and I was saying out loud, like, I don't think they touched him. But you're still expecting, you know, it to be brought back. You know, it's almost like usually refs blow the whistle there anyway. It's just out of not knowing.
When he was asked about it after the game, he said that he thought he was down. And so he stands up and he said that he goes, all of his teammates just start yelling, go, go, go. And he goes, so I went. And for some reason, the way he said that, it just made me think of like a Forrest Gump. Like
I was going to say, he Forrest Gumped on the celebration too. He just kept running and running.
I was running.
Just ran out of the stadium, basically.
They said, go, go, go. So I went.
So good, man. He's great. Now, he looks it's a good week, I guess, for him to get a bye week. Probably he does look a little banged up. Which
what a monster though that he is. I mean,
he's unbelievable.
I mean, everything that no matter what happens, you know, whatever wherever this season goes, who knows? Like he is, as much as you want to give credit to whoever, Dak, Mike McCarthy, Dan Quinn. Micah is the straw that stirs the drink. He changed all of this. He is the reason that if anybody out there thinks that this team is going to make a deep playoff run, I think they're capable of it. But if they end up doing it, it's going to be because of Micah Parsons. It will not be done without Micah. I mean, he just, you can sit there and think for, you know, whatever. It could be three or four plays. It can be a series, whatever can go by. And you kind of be like, you know, 11 really hasn't done anything. And then as soon as you say that, sure enough, there's just something that he does, and there is an aspect of it that makes me think we haven't seen all of whatever he has to offer, and that's, I don't think that he gets the veteran type call on like holdings, and I think a lot of Cowboys fans would agree. I mean, there's just a lot of plays
like one today,
where you're kind of like, if this is Myles Garrett, if this is Aaron Donald, this is some guy with maybe a little bit more tenure, why aren't they calling this stuff? And maybe it's something that it goes into the offseason. Maybe it'll take him to win NFL Defensive Player of the Year, which I think he's clearly going to win as long as he stays healthy. But I just don't think he gets the respect from the officials that he deserves.
I think that's really fair, and you see it a lot against guys.
For anybody listening, go back and watch the play that he recovers the fumble on.
Yeah,
he's getting double teamed on the edge there, and hats off to him for turning and running and being upfield. But I mean, just that play when you see it from the angle behind Justin Fields, you're just kind of like, man, all right, I guess that's not a hole. They didn't call it, but man, it's damn close.
I just think about all the things we were talking about him coming into the draft. It's like, well, at Penn State, every once in a while they would put him in coverage, or every once in a while. He might rush the passer a time or two a game, but other than that, and just, I mean, we've talked about this a million times, just the creativity and imagination of someone to go, well, I think he could do all this because, you know what, for as good of a pass rusher he is, I think his best, like the best thing about him is his, like, in pursuit when he is flagging someone down, like in that play against Detroit last week. I mean, his pass rush skills are incredible.
And he took that one to the house times, today. I mean, yeah. Didn't he play running back growing up?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Which made me think that his ball carrying would have been better than it was. I mean, he had that ball out and it was all over the place.
He said he played running back and then they put him at defensive end and he had like four sacks in the first half or something. And yeah. He never went back to running back.
Yeah. And then here's the other thing. Like Penn State had Jason Elway as their stud DN. So why not put Micah at the other edge rusher spot and just have those two monsters go after the quarterback? I don't know why they didn't do that. And I will say, I will say this for the rest of my life. I totally believe that the COVID year helped out the Cowboys in that respect, because if he doesn't sit that year out and plays another year at Penn State, I just think he would have been such a game wrecker that there's no way that he falls outside five or six. Yeah. Some team trades up for him if one of the top five or six teams is like, you know, all going for quarterbacks or left tackles. Like, I just don't think there's him not playing kind of made, I think, people think, yeah, he's got some pass rush to him, but he's like your traditional linebacker. And you know, this is the NFL and we don't take linebackers in the top 10. And it's like, yeah, well, he's not a linebacker. I mean, that's part of what he does, but what he's best at is rushing the passer.
Yeah.
Can we get an offensive package where he runs in there at fullback on the goal line, you know, blow somebody up?
So he certainly wants it. He's been asking for that for a while.
Has he really? Oh, awesome.
Oh, yeah. You could tell after the game. I mean, when Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott were asked about the play, they both, in their own way, talked about how bad it was going to be for them in this upcoming week because it was just going to be gasoline on a fire for Micah to continue to ask to try and get a carry. And
he really wants to play offense.
Oh, yeah.
Two-way player. Yo, he may be one of our best. He might just be the best football player on the team. Let's throw him on offense too. Let's Deion, you know, come on.
He's got to get better at the way he's carrying the ball though. I mean, that he kind of had that ball out there, and I don't know that they love that.
He might not have known, like, he probably thought he was down two, you know, was kind of running it in. I don't know.
Well, that was all kind of weird. Turnover, you know, this is like a thing of the last 5 years. Every time there's a turnover, everyone runs to the opposite end zone and take the team picture.
Okay, and here we go. I'm going to get you guys the exact quote here. All right. This is Mike McCarthy when he was specifically asked about Micah Parsons' fumble return. Micah is such a dynamic player. Those are game-changing type plays, not only to create the takeaway, but to be able to finish it. Obviously very excited, but part of me is annoyed because he wants to be on offense already now. I'm going to have a hard time keeping him out of my office. His ball security is awful, so he still needs to focus on defense.
Okay.
I'm not saying give him the ball and let him run. I'm saying put him in front of Zeke or put him in front of Pollard on the goal line and, you know, have him
so earlier,
extra blocker.
Well, earlier in the year, Kel Moore was asked about that, and he said that Micah clearly wants the ball if he's going to be in there on offense. So,
you can't.
I think he's got pretty good hands. Maybe you, to your point, Kent, maybe you bring him in there to block. But he's going to have to show block on a couple of plays before, and then you just let him leak out and throw him, you know, one of those typical like tight end touchdowns where the guy's wide open. Maybe that happens, but he's just so quick. So, you know, he said it last week. I mean, he doesn't think that there's any defensive lineman or linebacker that's as fast as him. And him and Justin Fields are friends. They've raced many a times, and Micah says there's no question that Micah's faster than Justin Fields, and look how fast Justin Fields is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's ridiculously athletic. There's no question about it. And when he got up and started running that ball back, I was like, oh, he's going to score. I just didn't think that it was going to count.
Yeah. Well, it was a really, really good game, man. I mean, you can't ask for much more. You do want to tighten up the run defense and things like that. You know, Hankins, you didn't see him do much. I don't know if anyone was expecting him to do much, but he also didn't play a ton either.
Let's see what the old stat line was here, yeah, KT.
Snap count there, yeah.
Let's see old Hankins. I don't have the snap count. I got him with 3 tackles.
Here's
and
one.
And that's it.
One question.
That's more than I thought.
Yeah.
Do you think they would have put up 49 with Cooper Rush?
No.
Nah.
Well, I think...
No.
This,
not at all.
This is why... You want Dak in there, people.
Well, just I can tell you this.
The entire, you know, trade Dak community.
Yeah, well,
this is why you want Dak, people. Yeah.
One of the notable things that they were doing, particularly in the first half, is they were going that up-tempo offense. I just don't see you doing that with Cooper Rush. You do that with Dak Prescott, and we haven't seen as much of it because, let's be honest, Dak hasn't been healthy. But I don't see them speeding it up to get Cooper Rush in a rhythm. You know, that's not really the game plan with him. And... I don't know. I just felt like Dak was really trying to establish Michael Gallup early. And I don't know why, but it just seemed like that helped CD kind of ease into the game too, you know, and CD played well and Gallup played well.
Dak got the ball out quickly today.
Yeah. No, he did.
Really,
for sure.
I want to see his average, you know, time before he threw because when he'd get rushed, he would just throw it. It wasn't rushing out of the pocket or trying to make something happen. He was getting rid of the ball really quick, making really quick reads, at least from what I saw on the YouTube, melts or whatever. But
what you're saying, John, too, like the one blemish on his game, it's because they were trying to go up 35-14.
Yeah.
It was, let's put the pedal down. And if that's Cooper Rush, like you were saying, it's, you know, well, let's go ahead and just get it to halftime there, 28-14. You know, maybe we try to get in field goal range. Right. I don't know. So,
it was really good.
We can go back and simulate it, and they end up winning by that same score, except the difference is that Tony Pollard has like 20 carries, and he goes for 215 and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine a comment on Hogan Johns after the game when they were talking about it? They said Tony could go home and doesn't even have to get in the ice bath tonight, untouched all day. He's like, oh, I'm fine. I'm good. Yeah. Just like hanging out.
Take a lot of big hits.
Yeah, just let's watch some movies with the family, you know? Yeah. Just, I feel great.
I was a little surprised he almost got caught from behind on that 54 yarder. He almost got tripped up there at the 5 yard line. I thought he was completely gone and there was a little closing there.
He looked quick, man.
Was that, McEwen?
Blocking?
I
thought it was Schultz, but it could have been McEwen, but I thought it was Schultz.
It wasn't Schultz. No, okay. It wasn't Schultz. It was McEwen 89.
Hendershot.
Oh no, that's Hendershot.
Okay, whoever it was, if they would have just sprinted, they weren't running as fast as they could.
Yeah.
If they would have just sprinted, they could have just got in front of that guy. Okay? Like,
yeah.
I'm just watching it. It was like, dude, run. Because he had the angle on him.
Trying to think who was chasing him down. I want to say it was Brisker that was chasing him down, who the safety from Penn State. And he almost got him around the ankles.
Yeah, and he's, Brisker's definitely faster than the tight end in question.
Oh, yeah, Brisker was on
that play.
Hurt, yeah,
kind of hurt like on it at the end. Yeah, yeah.
That was the tight end had the angle, though. So he had like the angle on him, and I was like, dude, get go. Like, just run and get in front of him.
Okay, small, hold on. I'm watching it right now. It was Brisker, and you are correct, Sean McCune. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I just watched the play over again. Yeah, that's who
again,
it was.
Brisker's faster, but McCune had a clear angle. It's like, dude, go.
I'm telling you, it's because I think that everyone just assumes that Tony's just going to blow by him. I mean, he's ridiculously fast. I don't think that McCune thought that Brisker was going to even close the gap on him.
Yeah.
And he almost did. Well, he almost tripped him up at the five.
We've done
but he probably would have scored on the very next play. Sorry.
No, you're good. It's just basically going to get us out of here. I mean, we've done enough damage here tonight. 49-29. Kind of an odd game. Cowboys hit bye week 6-2.
Jerry said if you would have told him 6-2 after Dak went down, he would have walked to Chicago for 6-2. So
I don't think he would have actually
missed that opportunity.
And I would have been right by his side interviewing him the entire no.
Okay, hold on. What were the Cowboys?
Did you guys see Jerry's Halloween costume, by the way? It was making the rounds in social media.
Yeah.
He dressed up as a blind ref.
A blind ref.
You know, hey.
That's kind of messed up, Jerry.
he definitely.
He's not shy about how he feels, right? He's not one to.
Well, when he was asked about
inside.
So he had the stick and he had on, you know, the typical ref shirt with a whistle, and then he had sunglasses on. And when he was asked about it, he said he had a lot of fun. But I'm being very careful here because I'm getting real close to getting a fine. But yeah, he said that shows you how much he loves the refs because he dressed
up
like
a full-on football ref, or he could have just been like, "Yo, I'm an NBA."
No, it was a football ref. No,
there's a whistle. There's a whistle.
Oh yeah, no, it was a football ref.
NFL logos and everything.
Oh, here. And speaking of refs, I'll give you something that'll piss off Cowboys fans. That was a roughing the passer by Chauncey Golston. I'm sorry. Like, I know the angle they keep showing on TV.
Yeah.
There are people think that wasn't, and that was like some ticky-tack call. Like, watching it from the press box was right behind, you know, when the play is going on. As soon as the ball leaves Fields' hands, he's going to get hit with that. And two different refs are standing right there. And it was like not even thinking twice. Like, yeah, that's – so you might not like the NFL rules for roughing the passer, but by the NFL rules, that was roughing the passer. I'm talking about on the Trayvon Diggs interception that got called back, you know?
Yeah. TV copy did a terrible job of showing that to the audience.
Yeah, that was...
They just didn't have a good view on it. Yeah. And that happens. They didn't have a good view. But man, it was... it's just what the league is now. Quarterback throws the ball. If it's a second or two after, you can't touch him.
It sucks because basically...
I don't even have a problem with that call. I thought...
Yeah.
From what you can see on there, it's like, yeah, he clearly went high on him. You just can't do that. We all know that.
The NFL is making it so your edge rushers just can't pin their ears back and go full speed. So, for example, there was the one play where DeMarcus Lawrence just blew by Justin Fields. And Fields was like, you know, just very nonchalant, like, nope, that's not going to do it. And just kind of stepped around him and whatever. And then on that Golston play, too, it's like, it sucks because if you're an edge rusher, you just want to get there as fast as possible. You know, do whatever move you're going to do to get past and get to that quarterback as fast as possible. But in today's NFL, whether you're talking about the flags or you're talking about the athleticism of today's quarterbacks, you got to almost like break down in like a defensive stance, like in basketball, because you can just so quickly blow by the quarterback. And I just think that's so hard for a guy to do in the NFL to try and slow up or just run up to him with your hands in the air. I mean, you get so few opportunities to really good put a good shot on a quarterback. And so when you get it, you want to take full advantage of that.
I know Troy Aikman took a lot of heat for his comments on Monday Night Football a few weeks ago about dresses, but Like, I do not have a problem with how they call roughing the passer in terms of going high or going low. You can't do that. Stop doing it. They've made it clear. These are the rules. The one part of roughing the passer that I have a problem with is the whole full body weight landing on the quarterback.
Oh, right.
Like, dude, sometimes a defensive tackle running up the middle can't stop his 340 pounds from landing on you. Like, yeah. That's the one. But the hitting high, dude, get away from their neck. Like, I don't know what to say to you. Like, you get close. That was an unnecessary play by Chauncey Golston, I thought. So, yeah.
But again, if you're Chauncey Golston, how many opportunities do you get to put a decent hit on a quarterback? You don't get very many. And so when they're there, you're like, I'm taking my shot, you know?
Just go a little lower. They give you a big enough of a target.
That one hit.
You know, it's
on,
not like it's Kyler. Justin Fields is a tall dude. You know,
that one hit on Fields by Lawrence later in the game, that was just dead on.
Yeah.
You could almost tell he was so dead in his sights that, like, Lawrence almost pulled back a little bit, like, because I don't want to destroy this guy because I will kill him. I will kill this person if I go full speed. You don't get those opportunities much. And even when you do, it's like, oh, crap, do I really have this clear of a shot at the quarterback?
And to me, one of the things that DeMarcus Lawrence does best is he plays violent.
Right.
And it's so hard to just coach that out of somebody, like, hey, get real violent. But then right when you're by him, don't be violent. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess, hey, you know what? I say coach that out of them, but they do it in practice all the time because you can't hit the quarterback. So you're going to have to pull up generally what they do in the practice. Like, they run right by the quarterback.
I don't know what to do. Yeah.
They should start hiring a person that signs the insurance papers and you can actually hit him in practice. So he's like XFL guys.
Yeah. You can
volunteer. You don't think some of these XFL guys would volunteer to get hit, sign the liability? I mean, they're in the XFL.
Hey, I heard C.J. Wilson was the one.
Renegades.
I heard C.J. Wilson was the one simulating Justin Fields in practice.
Really?
Oh, another interesting point. Who did I say?
C.J. Wilson of Rangers?
Oh, the Rangers pitcher. The Rangers pitcher was at practice. Yeah, he was doing
an odd choice. Thanks for bringing that to the air, John.
C.J. Goodwin, sorry. I'm telling you, the only thing worse than that is how much I mix up Russell Westbrook and Russell Wilson. And there are a lot of similarities, though, but I still mix them up way too much.
Dude.
But
Tyler. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, interesting point on the whole running quarterback that, there's a lot of talk of, well, you got to have a player spy. Mike McCarthy mentioned this last week, and it's a very interesting point that I took out of that is, so you spy a quarterback who is a thrower and a runner because they're going to drop back. And they could pass, or they could, with a guy like a Justin Fields, there's almost that, I'm just going to catch it, and I'm just going to take the snap and run. And so when you have guys that are capable of doing that, Jalen Hurts too, it's a little bit more difficult to have a spy because instead you would rather, you want your defensive line to try and, you have to treat him like he's a running back, you know?
Yeah.
And so the spy doesn't necessarily work all the time because the player isn't really dropping back and passing as much as a traditional, like, I don't know, the way he was explaining it made me think of more of like a Steve Young who would throw but could also run, maybe Michael Vick, Randall Cunningham, as opposed to some of these guys today, man, like a Lamar Jackson. They could just take off. They're like a running
back out
there.
That's what Fields was doing. Yeah, he would just take a five-step drop and just go, you know?
Yeah.
It was no hesitation, like make a read and then run. It was like run.
Yeah. Right. And I think the other thing that might have hurt the Cowboys is if honestly they would have played them before that New England game. Because that Monday night game, the success that Fields had on the ground like that, there's no question the Cowboys saw that and were like, damn, that was an eye-opener. He was able to do that in New England and blow them out against Bill Belichick's defense. All right, well, we better be ready for this, you know, and I think that was kind of an eye-opener.
Hey, they held Parsons to no sacks, like a couple tackles. I know he had the big fumble recovery, but the way the approach to double-teaming Micah seemed to be working out pretty well up until the end.
Well, and everybody will continue to do that, but that means that other people have to make them pay for doing that. It's DeMarcus Lawrence, Fowler, Dorrance Armstrong, those guys got to make them pay. Sam Williams, whoever. Mm-hmm. If this guy's getting doubled, all those guys I just mentioned are good enough to beat one man. Someone's got to get home then.
Yep.
Well, we'll be back in the middle of the week on a bye week edition. Maybe we do some mid-season awards, any of the latest news, things like that. halfway through this thing at least 8 games, right? It's a 17-game season. It makes it weird that the halfway point is at halftime of the 9th game of the year. I don't like that. 16 was a good even. Since I'll never understand. I do understand it. I just don't like it. Make sure you're following Father John all week long. I'm sure there'll be some more stuff.
Oh, we got some trade deadline coming up here on Tuesday, Casey. Oh, my God.
Trade deadline's happening Tuesday. Yeah.
Will they Cowboys taking calls, making calls. Could be something
going
down.
Wish list. Go. Bold prediction for a trade. Because we'll probably record after the trade deadline. So
I can't think of the last time the Cowboys traded for a player that you knew that player beforehand. They've been pretty good about keeping. So I'm just going to say wide receiver. I'll just go with a position, but some type of wide receiver.
Grady Jarrett, defensive tackle, Atlanta Falcons.
That's an interesting one. Okay. A little Dan Quinn connection there.
Ooh, a little Dan Quinn connection.
I like this. Let's get wild.
Or do you go get the DJ Moore's the other name, I think. Who
Brandon Cooks? Team
DJ Moore put up a big day. His price is going to be pretty high after this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also took his helmet off after a touchdown and the kicker missed the extra point.
That was Hail Mary, though. That was kind of a big moment. That was nice. I'll go wide Chase receiver, Claypool. Too. Yeah.
Brandon Cooks, OBJ. Chase Claypool. Well, you could just sign him whenever.
That's what I mean. But before Tuesday.
Here's my issue with the OBJ thing. I would love it for our business. And if he is right, he obviously can still make big time plays. And he was a huge part of the Rams' success last year. My thing is you've seen with Michael Gallup, a little bit of dealing with some confidence that you got to build back up after that injury. Wondering if they're going to have that with James Washington, who's supposed to be back, at least practicing after the bye. Odell might be back physically, but when does he feel mentally like he's back to Odell pre-knee injury? Let's remember, that's the second time now in a row that he's had an issue with that same knee. So I just wonder, what's his impact going to be? I mean, and I'm sure they feel the same way, but yeah, obviously if he's all the way back, I mean, yeah, he's super dynamic.
I think I don't get the vibe that McCarthy would want that.
Either. Yeah, I don't really either, but...
I just think they don't like giving up picks, so that's why I said OBJ, because they can sign him at any time. Yeah. I just don't I don't see the Cowboys trading away any significant draft capital this year. But.
Oh, hey, you know who else they could sign at any time, Kent? His name is Cole Beasley. I'm not being serious. They're not signing Cole Beasley. Sorry.
He's retired, John. No, they can't.
I know. No. And I don't think they need a slot, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think they're fine there.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb good today as well. I don't we didn't mention him. CeeDee Lamb was very good today. When called upon, very good. All right. Well, we'll see you later in the week. There we go. 6-2 for our producer Kent Garrison. For Father John Machado, I'm Kevin KT Turner. We'll see you later in the week on About Them Cowboys.